how much has this changed the global community? And I'm thinking in particular, of course, within the global South, which suffered their own Holocaust. You mentioned the Herero and the Namaqua, but the Armenians, the Kenyans under British colonialism, the Indians, especially the 1943 Bengal famine, for instance, 3 million Indians died. And these Holocausts are not recognized by their perpetrators. Ami Caesari in Discourse on Colonialism says that the reason that the Holocaust carried out by the Nazis against the Jews resonated was because the tactics that were employed, and these are his words, against the coolies in India and the blacks in Africa and the Algerians by the French in Algeria just were turned on other white Europeans. But I, you know, and of course it's been the Global South led by South Africa that has stood up to try and impose the rule of law on Israel on the genocide. But is this reconfiguring the global community?
I think it is. I think it is. Not as fast as ending the genocide would require, but it is. So there are different trends that I see. First of all, as you say, there is a coming together around certain basic things. I've never heard so many people speaking the language of international law. Seriously. I mean, it's as a lawyer, as a human rights lawyer, if I were given the opportunity to not to look at the genocide for a moment, I would feel that the human rights mission is somewhat fulfilled, because people are aware and are aware through a common lens that is allowing many, really, from Africa to Asia, to the global minority and other places, really, to look at Palestine and recognize that there is some commonalities. People speak the language of human rights. Phenomenal, right? There is also another aspect of awakening. Is that never before have I heard so many people connecting the dots between the past and the present, and the colonial past and the present. I don't know if you agree with me, but at least I sense that there is a global awareness of something that has for a long time been a prerogative, a painful prerogative of the global majority, the global South, meaning the awareness of the pain and the wounds of colonialism. Israel as a settler colonial frontier, a Western settler colonial frontier, is giving an opportunity to understand what settler colonialism is and has done. And this is one. The third thing is that the awakening is coming by linking the dots. And look, I mean, we will have a chance to talk once my report is out. But I keep on saying two things as I prepare myself to unveil what I've discovered through the findings of the last 6 months of investigation, that the genocide in Gaza has not stopped because it's lucrative. It's profitable for far too many. It's a business. People have exploited. I mean, there are corporate entities, including from Palestine-friendly states, who have for decades made businesses and made profits out of the economy of the occupation, because Israel has always exploited Palestinian land and resources and Palestinian life. But, I mean, the profits have continued and even increased as the economy of the occupation transformed into an economy of genocide. And again, people need to understand that. Because Palestinians have simply, and I say simply with a lot of pain, and I don't mean disrespectful toward the Palestinians, but they have provided these boundless like training field to test technologies, to test weapons, to test surveillance techniques that now are being used against people everywhere, from the global south to the global north. Look at what's happening in the United States or in Germany. We are spied. Look at the use of drones, of biometrics. These are all things that have been experienced on the Palestinians, first and foremost. So I think that there is this link that unfettered and boundless, unchecked capitalism, which has been like a colonial racial capitalism also for the Palestinians, is detrimental for all of us. So, how to respond to this? I do see a movement. I do see a revolution brewing. I call it the watermelon revolution. And it's there. There are young people, workers, anti-Zionist Jews, or Jews who do not recognize themselves as anti-Zionist, but still don't want to have anything to do with Israel's crimes and don't want them to be in their names. So there is this movement, and at the level of countries, I see, for example, the Hague Group, which is a coalition primarily of countries from the global south, and it shouldn't be like that. So I've supported, I've sustained, I've commended these countries, and I call on other states from Asia to Africa, and especially the West, to join the Hague Group, which says let's start by taking some modicum, some minimal steps to comply with international law. No impunity, no harbor, and no weapons for Israel, which is really basic. But here's where we are, baby steps.
Can you talk about in this report that's coming out some of the global corporations that are profiting off of genocide and how they're profiting off of genocide?
I won't be able to tell you much because the report is still embargoed. But I decided to list about 50 corporate entities, from arms manufacturers to big tech companies to construction and sorry, to companies providing construction materials or extracting construction materials from the occupied Palestinian territory, to the tourism industry, goods and services, supply chain. There is this so far, and also these are the two main sectors of the displacement replacement of the Palestinians. And then there is a network of enablers like insurers, pension funds, wealth funds, like pension funds, banks, universities, charities. It's an ecosystem sustaining this illegality. And the private sector tends to escape scrutiny. They're very smart. And in fact, the private sector has historically been either a driver of settler colonialism. Think that during the 1600s, for example, think of the companies of the Indies. They were living from the Netherlands, the Dutch ports, to co-reach and colonize West India or Southeast Asia. Why on earth? And this has happened, but also there are also cases where companies or private entities were not the drivers, but the enablers, providing tools, funds for colonial enterprises that then profited them. And this is why big companies and corporate interest have helped shape the law to in a way that allowed them to escape scrutiny. It's not new that companies have profited from genocides, but think of what happened during the Holocaust. The Holocaust industrialist trials helped understand how companies made businesses out of the tragedy of millions of Jewish people. And it's shocking to see that some of the companies were held responsible in the case of the Holocaust industrialist trials are still involved in the genocide of the Palestinians. There was the South Africa experience after the Truth and Reconciliation Commission concluded its work. Some companies were condemned and to make reparations. So there have been historical moments that have prompted greater regulation for companies. And for example, the UN guiding principles imposing due diligence to companies are an outcome of the South Africa experience. And still, it's not enough. It's definitely not enough because companies continue to operate, you know, in the gray areas of state responsibility. So, if, for example, I put on notice 48 businesses and the response was, yeah, but it's not our fault, it's Israel. Oh, yeah, it's not up to you to tell us what we should do, it's the states. So, no, I'm sorry, today the occupation is unlawful, Israel has been put on notice, is investigated directly or indirectly in at least three proceedings for genocide, crimes against humanity and war crimes, and you cannot continue business as usual. And if you do, you will have to face justice. So this is probably the storm that I will help to mount against them, is to make sure that civil society and lawyers in every country where these businesses are registered are active. And also that consumers know that they can vote, they can bail out. They can make sure, for example, there are tourism companies who advise settlement properties. You should seal, or for example, real estate agents who sell nice English-speaking neighborhood in the heart of Judea and Samaria. Ah, yes. So this is normalization of the occupation by a click. And you are going to be punished, maybe not in court, but surely you will lose a lot of clients when they will know what you do.